Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome our special guest, Miss Kathy Lewis, who will star in The Prelude. Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, a poignant love story from the pen of Anthony Ellis, as Miss Kathy Lewis stars in The Prelude.
Whenever I hear it played, I think of him, that first meeting. But of course, there are so many pieces of music, music itself, that remind me. It really wasn't so very long ago. I remember Mr. Quiller's dingy little house in Ladbroke Grove, the fly-specked sign in the front window proclaiming so quietly in small lettering, Professor E. Quiller, Piano, Composition, and Harmony. I remember the showy hall, the worn, darkened carpet, and Mr. Quiller, that first day, fluttering, hovering as he took me into his study.
Oh, do sit down, won't you, Miss Edgerton?
Thank you.
I can't tell you how happy I am. I mean that you decided to come. I'm quite sure that you'll share my enthusiasm.
Is that the young man practicing now?
Oh, yes, yes. I allow him to use the piano whenever I'm not teaching. Most extraordinary talent. He makes his living in a music and gramophone shop. This is his afternoon off.
It's only fair to tell you, Mr. Quiller, that the trust fund for this year is practically exhausted. I hadn't planned
surely for such a gift there must be a way to develop, to nurture, bring it forth. He needs more than I can give him. Now he needs a master.
What about a scholarship? The academy?
Oh, I'm afraid not. Oh, I have no doubt that they'd accept him. No doubt at all. But the boy himself, Miss Edgerton, it's a matter of discipline. I've had the patience to understand and to work with him. His manner at times, only at times, a little difficult. Temperamental, perhaps.
How old did you say he is?
21. One learns to take a lenient attitude toward temperament, especially when it produces a great artist.
Isn't he just as likely to resent, and I assume that's the word for it, resent discipline from any teacher that I send him to?
I don't think so. You could understand, help him, as I know both you and your father have done with so many young people in America.
Well, Mr. Quiller, at least I should like to hear him play. You've made me very curious.
That's terribly good of you. I'm simply delighted. I haven't told him anything. I thought it better not to.
Oh.
Want me to pack up, Mr. Q?
Oh, no, dear boy, not at all. I just brought someone to meet you. Miss Edgerton, may I present Lawrence Kennedy? Larry, Miss Edgerton, Miss Margaret Edgerton.
How do you do?
Edgerton. Oh, yes. You're that very rich American lady. I think I've heard about you.
Miss Edgerton wanted to hear you play something.
Did she?
Mr. Quiller has told me you're very talented.
Has he?
Would you play something for Miss Edgerton? She's extremely interested.
Mr. Q, are you trying to put something over on me?
Oh, my dear boy, I don't...
Mr. Quiller asked me to come to hear you play. He knows, as I imagine you do, that from time to time I help young artists.
I believe the term is struggling young artists, Miss Edgerton.
That's quite right, Mr. Kennedy.
Miss Edgerton, is there something you'd particularly like to hear? What about Carnival, Larry?
Too long, I'm tired.
Perhaps you'd rather not play, then.
I don't mind. What do you want? Something nice and noisy? The bright young talent show off his technique. That's what they seem to like nowadays.
I think I'm a little tired of noisy things.
Ah, you're the Claire de Lune type, then. Fragile, moonbeams and rippling water, I know.
Larry...
You're a very rude young man. I can understand temperament, but not bad manners. Thank you, Mr. Quiller.
Miss Edgerton.
Yes?
I'm sorry. I was rude, intentionally so, I think, because you're rich and I'm not. I need you. You don't need me. It rather upsets me.
Well, you're very frank, aren't you?
What would you like me to play for you?
What you would like to play.
Yes, all right.
first I watched him, only half listening. I remember how thin he seemed, his head bent to the keyboard, a long expanse of fine boned wrist extending from his two short jackets, and the face, almost attractive in its ugliness. There was a withdrawal from that little room, from people. He was completely alone. Or perhaps he had left us, and we were the lonely ones. It was then, I think, that I stopped watching and only listened. I stayed for 2 hours, and the light in the room was almost gone when he finished. That was very beautiful. Thank you.
I'm forgiven, then.
Of course.
Oh, my boy, dear boy.
I played well, didn't I, Mr. Q?
Oh, you played well.
You're serious about going on with it? The studies?
Yes.
If I sent you to someone, would you be able to discipline yourself?
Mr. Q's been giving you an earful, I see.
Would you?
If I respected the teacher, I would. I respect Mr. Q.
Pascal.
Alfred Pascal?
Yes. That is, if he is willing.
Larry, Larry.
I'll get in touch with you as soon as I can arrange an appointment.
Just like that. I have a sponsor?
Just like that. Later, Pascal heard him play. The old man sat in my drawing room, quietly listening.
You are good, very good. And you know it. You have assurance. But there is arrogance, too. Now, where the music does not call for arrogance, it must not be. Yeah, I will teach you. The humanity of music. I will teach you to love it.
I arranged for Larry to leave the shop. He moved into my guest room, which had recently been occupied by a young singer, and he began his studies with Pascal. The months passed, and I went to visit my sister in Paris for a few weeks. When I returned, he was delighted to see me, excited about his work, and insisted upon taking me out to dinner. His enthusiasm must have been catching, because I found myself drinking more wine than I'd tasted for 3 years, and I was surprised to realize how much I had missed him. When we returned home, it was nearly midnight. He took me by the hand and pulled me into the drawing room.
I have something to play for you. It's for you, Margaret. A few months ago, I would have thought it childish, soppy. I never would have studied it. Then you went away. I wanted to give you something when you came back. This is it.
Smiled as he played, a softness in his eyes, his face. And for some strange reason, perhaps it was the wine, I found myself terribly moved by the music, by Larry. I moved closer to his side, and a feeling of unutterable loneliness came over me. Then he looked up.
You're crying.
Am I?
It's made you unhappy.
No, no. I don't know why I feel like this.
Margaret.
Don't.
Why not?
I don't want you to.
I've wanted to kiss you for a long time.
No.
Why? Why not?
There are a lot of reasons. Good night.
You're lovely. I've watched you. You're not so reserved and aloof as you pretend to be, I know. You're warm, soft. You like me
more.
Please
let me go.
Because you're 33 and I'm only 21, is that why? Is that it?
No. Yes.
I've missed you. I've wanted you to come back, not as my rich protectress, but... Don't turn your head away. Look at me. I love you.
No, you don't. You're behaving like a child. Now stop it.
You don't want me to stop. You want to hear these things. You want me to make love to you.
Larry, please.
Margaret. Margaret, I love you.
I remember that night, the sadness, futility, the fear of the servants overhearing, seeing. It's queer how one drops a convenient cloak over a scene as it occurs, and then looking back, the overbright, magnified picture of everything in retrospect. How simple a thing it is at 21 to love. Yet in my own life, which had been so well ordered, I realized that I had never allowed myself the feeling. For over a week, I avoided Larry. I knew that something would have to be done, so I went to see Pascal. I was sure that I could talk to him, trust his judgment.
My dear Miss Edgerton, if you have come to inquire about our young prodigy's progress, I can tell you in one word what I would not tell him. Magnificent.
I'm very glad.
This young man of ours, he will be a Horowitz, a Rubinstein, who you will. As a matter of
Pascal,
fact...
Pascal, something has happened. I want your advice as a friend.
Something with the boy?
Yes.
He's in love with you.
He told you?
No, he did not have to.
I don't quite know what to do.
But what is there to do? Let him be in love with you. He must grow, he must learn. Life is not all music. Miss Edgerton, you are a beautiful woman. Many men will fall in love with you. This time it is a boy.
I don't think that he should stay with me any longer. I can find him a flat somewhere. Of course, the lessons would continue, but...
Have you told him?
No, not yet. I wanted to speak to you first.
Why?
I suppose I wanted to find out if it will... hurt him in any way. I mean, with his studies, his music.
But of course it will hurt him. He is in love. The woman he loves pushes him away. Who would not be hurt? Larry is sensitive, grateful. He shows his gratitude for what you've done by telling you he loves you.
That isn't love. It's nonsense. He's 21. I'm 33.
Nonsense. For who?
For him.
And for you.
He's ridiculous. His clothes never fit him. He's too thin. Ugly. He has quite bad table manners.
Oh, well, a perfect monster. You must throw him out.
You're laughing at me.
No. I am not, Miss Edgerton, except that I cannot altogether understand why you are unable to take care of the situation yourself. Unless
what?
Dear lady, your father was a fine gentleman. He put his wealth to great use helping young artists. I have wondered often since your father died and you carried on his work. Well, I have often wondered whether...
Whether I've been duty-bound to carry on his work? I can answer that. I always hated it. I resented them all. Coming into our home one after another. Those precocious grown-up children with their moods, their complete indifference to anything but music, and the few dollars pocket money Father gave them so that they could go out on a spree. I hated them for making me regulate my life for them.
But surely that was not their fault. They did not ask. You gave.
He gave. I didn't.
And now Larry, he is not so indifferent, yeah? There is more with him than his music and the spending money, eh?
Yes.
Possibly you would like to return the feeling, eh?
You think that I'm in love with him? A child?
I think you could be, but my dear lady, it is no mother love. He lives in your house. You have the common bond of music. You are lonely and... Well, forgive me, but there is nature, you know. Yeah, I think it is possible for you to love him.
I haven't been able to face him or myself for over a week. I'm ashamed.
Of what? Your feelings?
He'll find someone. In 2 months, 6. Some pretty little thing who'll be everything to him.
Mm. Yeah. And you, what will you find?
I think that I've been feeling very sorry for myself for quite a long time. It's going to be all right now. I can manage him.
Manage him, yeah? I have some news for you. I was going to keep it a secret, but I think you should know now.
What?
He's going to play with the Philharmonic next month.
Larry?
Yes, Rachmaninoff III. Van Cleef has heard him. He wants him to play at a benefit.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is wonderful. It means a great deal. But for your sake, as well as his, you manage him gently, yeah?
By the time I reached home, I'd made up my mind what to do. He was at the piano when I came in. But as I passed the drawing room, he looked up.
Margaret, don't you want to talk to me?
You were practicing. I thought later...
I haven't seen you for a week.
I know.
You're very angry with me, aren't you?
No.
I'm a cad.
That lovely old-fashioned word.
You're not.
I do love you, you know.
Larry... Pascal told me about the concert.
Oh, it was supposed to be a surprise.
You know how happy I am, don't you?
It's terrific, isn't it? Van Cleef, the Philharmonic.
Yes.
And you? And me?
I'm going back to Paris.
When?
Tonight.
There's no reason for you to leave your house. I'll go. I can find a place.
I don't want you to.
You're not angry with me, but you're punishing me by going away.
It's so much better. For us both. This kind of love is for the wrong reasons. It's loneliness. And growing up. And a lot of things that aren't important. It's not... It wouldn't be happy.
It could be.
No. You don't see it now. You will, though. I love you. Not the way you'd like me to, but because I'm grateful. You've made me feel something I never thought I'd know. Let me be content with that.
What about me?
You'll practice hard. You'll play at the concert. And you'll be what Pascal said you are. Magnificent.
If I were 10 years older...
You're not.
All right. Run away to Paris. You'll have to come back.
I'll come back. For the concert. I left the house. He was practicing again, wildly, angrily. I remember how confused, how unhappy he was, and the hurt pride in him. I flew to Paris that night, and I thought how lucky he was to have his music. I lived through all of the pain of young love in that 1 month, and I was 33 years old. And then, the evening of the concert, I went back to London. Was packed, and I stood in the wings with Pascal. I shall never forget the way I felt as I stood there, listening, watching Larry. And then suddenly, I had to turn away, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't...
my dear lady, it is all right. It is all right. I know.
I can't help myself.
I know everything that you feel is in what he plays. The sadness, the love.
I think it's just that I've needed to do this for such a long time. I don't remember the last time I cried.
Crying is good.
Is it?
It releases what you feel when there's no other way to say it. He won't need you now. You understand that, don't you?
I know that.
It will not be that he's ungrateful, only that people, all kinds of people, will swarm about him like bees. They will flatter, adore him. And in a way, it will be like the love he wanted from you, but less confusing for him.
I knew it would be that way, just watching him. Perhaps that's why I cried.
I think it has not been a bad thing for you. Now perhaps you can find what you have been searching for.
Yes.
Come. We must be there to congratulate him when it is over.
Why did you switch it off, dear?
Oh, I don't feel like hearing it now, Donald.
It's a new recording, isn't it?
Yes. Lawrence Kennedy.
Oh, yes. Isn't he the young fellow you sponsored a couple of years ago in England before we were married?
That's right.
He's come a long way since then, hasn't he?
Yes, darling. He has.
Tell me, Margaret, what was he like?
I'll tell you about him.
Romance is produced by William Frug and was directed by Anthony Ellis, who also wrote The Prelude. Miss Kathy Lewis starred as Margaret. Others in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Bruce Barlow, and Bill Conrad. Solo piano sequences were played by Miss Effie Carlish. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly, inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. America's most colorful sporting event, even when it's run in the mud. That's the true picture of the Kentucky Derby. And this afternoon, rain or shine, you'll get all this color and all the thrills of the actual running of the great race only on CBS Radio. You'll be able to sit in on the Derby, whether you're driving in your car in Vermont, tending the garden in Florida, sitting in a rocker in California, or resting in bed in Oregon. Later today, hear the Kentucky Derby, exclusive, right here on CBS Radio. And now stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately on most of these same stations.